Welcome to Davis Memorial Presbyterian. Welcome if you're here personally in the sanctuary or if you're listening to us on the radio. We're glad that you're with us. I'm Peter Vile. I'm one of the pastors that serves this congregation. The other one is Kevin Starcher, and he is here ready to preach for us today. Dr. Melody Meadows is directing the choir and playing the keyboards of various types, and we're glad that they are all here. Holt Chenoweth is our liturgist, and we're very grateful for that as well, for you, sir. Let's start out with an announcement from the Presbyterian women. Holly.
Good morning. I'd like to remind you all of the Presbyterian Women's Annual Winter Mission Project. This is the blanket sale for Church World Services. For a donation in honor of or in memory of a loved one for Valentine's Day, blankets are provided to people in crisis around the world and also close to home, often from natural disasters, such as the ones we've been hearing of lately, such as wildfires, flooding, landslides in the Northwest, and hurricanes and tornadoes and flooding in the South and Southeast. There's information in your bulletin with inserts and offering envelopes, and there will be a table upstairs in the chapel and downstairs for the next couple weeks. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Holly. On page 5, there are other announcements that we commend to you and hope that you'll spend some time looking those over. Are there other announcements today? Seeing none, let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please join me with a call to worship as printed in the bulletin. We gather as God's people.
We are imperfect, we are mortal, yet we are God's beloved.
As the beloved children of God, let us expect in worship to encounter the Almighty Spirit of the Lord our God. Let us pray. O God, we trust in your power to create, to sustain, to enable. But we could not trust if we did not know that you are always near. Be with us, Lord, as we are gathered here to worship you. Help us not to check our minds or our hearts at the door, but enable us to bring all that we are to you, so that we might experience your touch upon all aspects of our life. We pray this because of And in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let us now sing hymn number 630, Fairest Lord Jesus.
If you say that you don't need to confess your sins because you've done nothing for which you need to confess, then the only person that you deceive is yourself, and the truth is not in you. But if we confess our sins and our brokenness and our frailties before God, Scripture tells us that God will forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In a spirit of humility, let us pray together the prayer of confession found printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. As the forgiven people of God, we are called to forgive one another and start acting as peacemakers in this world. So let's practice that. Oh, wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. If you've been here before, you know that God loves us. And you know the drill. When we confess our sins, God forgives us and calls us into new ways of being. So friends, hear that your sins are forgiven and you have an imperative to go forth and to be peacemakers in this world. Thanks be to God for this new and abundant life we've been given in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for your forgiveness to me for getting ahead of myself. But let's practice being peacemakers here in worship by looking our neighbor in the eye and say, may the peace of the Lord be with you. And we respond by saying, and also with you. We have a wonderful group of friends with us. If you are young, or if you are young at heart, or if you want to be young at heart, you are invited to come forward to listen to the Bible being read, and then we'll have a special message. And I'm going to say, I'm a little sad that some of our more mature friends have yet to come forward for children's time who want to be young at heart. But that's okay. Maybe next week. Let's give our attention to Mr. Holt as he reads to us from the Bible.
The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. You can read along in a pew Bible on page 816. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balaam of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened in Chittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving act of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The New Testament reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. You can read along in a pew Bible, page 4. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is a kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We have some great friends with us today. And let us tell everyone who's up here by saying your name into the microphone.
Astrid Everett.
And who is this? Delaney, it's so good to have you here. What's your name, Laurel? Do you want to say your name today? No, that's okay. What's your name?
Levi. Claire.
Claire.
We have some big kids from youth group over here.
Alex. Anna.
Miriam. Kaya.
And then we have one more special friend over here. Can you say your name in that wonderful deep voice of yours?
Harrison.
Harrison. What a bass you're going to be when you get older. Hey, I have a question like I do every week. What does God want us to do? It's pretty simple. What does God want us to do, friends? Sit still? That is not in the Bible, Chris Randolph. In fact, it might say the opposite. Does anyone know what we're supposed to do? What's that?
Be nice.
That's really good. Absolutely. What else are we just supposed to do as God's people? Mr. Holt, to be nice? Yeah. Mr. Holt read to us from the Bible, and he read this verse from the prophet Micah. And Micah is talking about what we're supposed to do as people, as Harrison and Everett and Estrid and all of us. What are we supposed to do? And here's what Micah says. He says, you should do justice. Does anyone know what justice is?
Yeah.
What is justice?
Be nice.
Be nice? Be fair? Be nice and be fair? That's pretty good, to be nice and to be fair, to do justice. And to help others. Perfect. Right. And to love kindness and to walk humbly with God. So I want us to practice. And I want to say this, I want you to say this as loudly as possible, because we need to remember this, all of us, even the big kids. So On the count of three, I want you to say, we're going to do all three, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. So really loudly, can you say, do justice on the count of three? Let's practice softly. One, two, three. Do justice. Maybe those big kids out there can help you. Now, as loudly as possible, we're going to say, do justice. One, two, three.
Do justice.
Now we're going to do love kindness. One, two, three. Love kindness. Oh, you must be a bunch of Presbyterians out there. You can do better than that. And the last one is going to be walk humbly, as loudly as possible. Let's see if we can break a window. Walk humbly. One, two, three.
Walk humbly.
That was better. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's pray. God, thanks for these young people who teach us how to laugh and to love and to live well. Help all of us, the big kids included, to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly. You are pretty clear in the Bible, so help us to do that in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. If you are younger than first grade, you can head up to the nursery, and the rest of you can head back with your parents. Thanks so much for coming up. Choir sounds good today. Thank you so much. Many of you know that we have a partnership with the Lutheran Church, and at 9 o'clock I preach at the Lutheran Church. And after the service, one of my good friends said, boy, you sounded like a Baptist today. So I want to warn you a little bit. I did not grow up Presbyterian. I grew up United Methodist and Baptist. And Pentecostal, so get ready for a little bit of rocking and rolling today. Just to warn you, we're going to do something else a little different today. Us Presbyterians are going to get out our Bibles. So find a pew Bible if you did not bring one. Or if you have one on your phone, this Gen X / millennial pastor would say, get out your phone and look at your Bible. And I want you to open up to Micah. Chapter 6. Now, before I get too involved in the scripture, I want to share that these are interesting days in which we live. And I try really hard not to bring politics into the church. I wouldn't want to desecrate the church building with all the sin that we find in politics. But it is very true that God is concerned about the social order in which we live. And in the Bible, there is no example for what it looks like for God's people to participate in a society that is democratic. When Micah was writing his prophecy, he was writing at roughly 740 BCE to about 700 BCE, which means that it's about 700 years before Jesus. It's a long time ago. But while he was writing, there were a period of about three kings, King Jotham, King Ahaz, and King Hezekiah. And they were ruling, and during this time, especially earlier, the kingdom of Israel was broken up into two kingdoms. There was the southern kingdom of Judah. There was the northern kingdom of Israel. We know that in the year 722 BC, that Samaria, Israel, was overtaken by the Assyrians. And writing before then, Micah It's talking about the way that the people of God were living, the society in which they lived, and the way that they treated their neighbor, the way that they responded to God. Now, if you read all of Micah, it's a short verse. I encourage you to read it. You'll find some of the best gold nuggets of the New Testament or the Old Testament there. Micah is very concerned. And in fact, he prophesies against the two kingdoms because they had disregarded the ways of the people of God. They were crushing the heads of the oppressed, the poor amongst them. They had forgotten their ways. And Micah says, you will fall. God is very concerned about the way that we treat each other. God is very concerned about the way that we live as the people of God. Part of me wonders, 2,700 years ago, if Micah's words still ring true. And friends, for those of you that have been here, you know that I love you so much. And this may be a hard sermon for some of us to hear, but I feel like I have to preach it. Open your Bible to Micah chapter 6. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. I'm going to stop. And I wonder if God asks the same question of us. And as we are surrounded by rich mountain and cheap mountain, if God says to us, arise, stand up, and let me hear your voice. And then he tells the mountains, hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord. And you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. God doesn't seem very happy. And then God continues through the mouth of the prophet, my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me! For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. Now be mindful of the context. God is not pleased with the way that they've been living according to the ways of God and treating their neighbor. And God has a controversy to stir up with his people. Now these are the people of God, God's beloved, God's chosen. He loves them so much. And then he begs of them to remember what God has done in the past. Starting in verse 4. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Stop. The people of God began as a people who were enslaved according to the oppressive waves of Pharaoh in Egypt. And he says, remember. In many ways, that's what the Jewish religion is all about. Remember what God has done for you. Remember that you were slaves. Remember that I've called Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to bring you up out of slavery. Verse 5. All my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. And what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. Remember what God has done. Do any of these words ring a bell to you? King Balak of Moab? It's okay if it doesn't. But God says, remember these events, because these are important, because they show the saving acts of the ways of God. So verse 5, King Balak of Moab. When the Israelites were journeying up out of Egypt through the desert, going into the promised land, they were taking over the promised land, and the Moabites were a little afraid of what the Israelites were going to be doing. So, King Balak, the Moabite, tag-teamed up with the Midianites, and they wanted to pay a diviner, a magician, to cause a curse. For they figured that Israel's success must have been dependent upon the magic ways of God. And how are we going to defeat these Israelites? We're going to hire the best magician to put a curse on God's people. Now, Balaam was not a Hebrew. He had no really good reason to be on the side of the Israelites. But he was smart enough to reckon that Yahweh, that God, was the only power in the entire universe that matters. So he prays to Yahweh. God says to Balaam, "You will bless the Israelites." Now King Balak was rather perturbed, to put it mildly, because he was paying Balaam good money to put a curse on those Israelites. But Balaam listened to the word of God. And three times Balaam blesses the Israelites. And four more times Balaam goes on to curse those who did not participate in the ways of God. So God says, remember that you are a slave. Remember what that smart guy Balaam did listening to the words of God. And then finishing that verse, he says, remember what happened from Shittim to Gilgal. Us New Testament folks are not necessarily familiar with Shittim to Gilgal. But if you open your Bible and remember Moses' journey, the desert, Moses didn't get to the promised land. He died on Mount Nebo. But the people of God went on. Shittim is the last place that the people of God were in the desert before they crossed the river and went to the waters of the Jordan, and they walked through. Remember, from Shittim to Gilgal, that is the journey of transformation from a wandering people to a people of the promise. It was in Gilgal that they were all circumcised, which sounds painful to us, right? But for them, it was there that they bore the mark that these were God's people. And God says, remember this. Remember these wondrous things that I have done for you, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. I wonder if God is calling us to remember the saving acts of the Lord. We live in a divided country today. And you are not, I don't think, going to hear a political sermon from me. I am pretty convinced that the Republicans and the Democrats, when we idly sit by and pledge our allegiance to whichever party best suits our aesthetics, we only commit idolatry. Who's going to save us? It's not going to be Donald Trump, and it's not going to be the Democratic National Party. It ain't going to be Barack Obama. Who will save us, people of God? It is the acts of God. So when we immediately salute the flag of whichever party that we want to, I wonder if the people of God are only committing idolatry. Many of you know that I'm the chaplain at the college. The best sermon that I have heard in Robbins Memorial Chapel came from one of our Muslim students from Saudi Arabia. An interfaith conversation. Tell us about Islam. Tell us about Saudi Arabia. Student says, about Islam and Saudi Arabia. And he says, you know, when I came to the United States, we always picture you as a Christian nation. And he said, I was really puzzled because I don't experience a whole lot of Christians here. Okay, so this is getting the attention of our Christian students in chapel. But we're having a good dialogue. So one of our good students said, well, what do you think we should do if we want to embody our faith even more and to be better Christians? Best line I've heard in Elkins, best sermon from a Muslim student. He says this, If you want to be better Christians, I think you should read your Bible some more. And I see some heads nodding. And I'm fearful that for too many Christians in Elkins or around the world, we gather our news, we gather our religion from either Fox News or MSNBC, and very rarely do we crack open the Word of God. We live in a divided country. Now, I don't know if it's the most divided it's ever been. I'm not very astute when it comes to matters of political concern. I do know this. I do know that yesterday there were some executive orders signed by our president, and to be fair, temporary bans on individuals coming from 7 Muslim-majority countries. Temporary 90-day ban so that our government can vet the backgrounds of individuals. I don't know whether that's good or bad for the national security of our country. I don't. I'm not that smart. But I do know that I'm a child of God. And I do know that God cares about the least of these. And I do know that when Holt read those words from the Beatitudes, Jesus didn't say, "Blessed are those who have the biggest guns," or "Blessed are those who have the wealthiest people in their nation." No, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And people of God, I wonder if we are embodying those words from our Lord and Savior, or if we're rather just waving the flag of some political party that we believe it will save us. This is hard stuff. As I said earlier, in the days of Micah, he lived under a king. All throughout Scripture, God is very skeptical of the kings. Indeed, there was a time when Israel didn't have a king, and they lived under the people or the wisdom of the judges. God's people said, "We want a king." God says, "You're going to regret it. We want a king." God loves us so much that he gives us what he asks, that he gives us what we ask for. So Saul came along. He wasn't very great. There was King David. King David has a terrific heritage, but wasn't perfect. King Solomon with all of his wives and concubines. We get down to Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. We know that Ahaz sold the sacred items from the temple to build political allegiances. And the scripture says that Ahaz was one of the worst kings that the people of God had. In the days of Jesus, he lived under the emperor. Again, there were no elections, just lived according to the ways of the emperor. And Jesus was pretty clear, I think, when asked about taxes, "Do we pay taxes?" Jesus says, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's." God is everything. So what are we as God's people supposed to do in these new days which have been afforded our nation? I had this conversation with one of my good friends. I don't know. And maybe that makes me guilty, but I think this is hard, right? For the blessings of democracy is this, is that each of us have been given a voice to participate in the political process. Now, you have heard me clearly. I don't think either party is all that. But I think as the people of God, there are values that are non-negotiable. Jesus told us who is blessed in the kingdom. Sorry, I'm shooting from the hip, so I need to apologize. I don't have my notes in front of me. I couldn't sleep last night. This is hard stuff, because there's nothing in the Bible that says this is how people living under democracy should act. I want you to know this. At noon, there's going to be a demonstration by the Iron Horse statue for people in our community who want to let our international students at D&E know that we care about them. The rally is not sponsored by the Presbyterian Church. It will be outside our doors. And I wonder what our role should be. Maybe we should be out there with our signs. Part of me says that when we get involved in polar politics, that we lose our prophetic voice. But maybe we should be out there. Maybe we shouldn't be out there. But I hope that you will struggle with me, because God's word is pretty clear. We care for the refugees in our midst, because you too were once aliens in Egypt. Remember, God's controversy with God's people is this. Remember, I'm calling you to task. Stand up and let your voice be heard. And what will your voice say? Will you be part of the tradition that upholds? Or will we bow to the idol of politics and political leaders? Friends, I hope that you will wrestle with me. But I hope you will heed the words of that Muslim student. For I am convinced that even though we may not have concrete answers of how we should behave, God's word is pretty clear. What are we to do? To do justice. To love kindness. Which probably means that we're kind to those people on the other side of the political aisle too. And to walk humbly with God. So when the Lord calls you to the carpet and says, insert your name here, answer me, how will you give a testament to the life in which you've lived in these interesting days of American politics? How will you answer? Answer me, says the Lord. Amen. Let us continue our worship by singing together hymn number 418, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling.
Softly and tenderly.
seated. Earlier in my introductory remarks, I left off our usual welcome to those who are visiting with us today, and we hope that you will let your presence be known. If you are on the aisle end of the pew, there are red fellowship pads we'd like you to grab, and everyone mark your attendance and mark the columns that signify your relationship to the church. And or if you're visiting with us, there are pew cards. There should be a pew card for visitor information. That helps us welcome you. Today we come to a time of prayer together, adding once again, although we did not get it printed, Ed Kyle's name should be on our prayer list today. He is at Davis Memorial Hospital. Let us gather these names and others, as well as our partners in mission, both nationally and around this world, in a time of prayer. O God, whose wisdom surpasses our understanding, help us to grow as people of blessing as we offer our prayers for the church and for the world. We pray for the church that its message might be clear and strong, that it might stand up to the call of Scripture, that from the prophet Micah to the Beatitudes, we are echoing your heart for those who are meek, for those in need of justice, and for all of us in need of humility. Today we pray for those who mourn, those who are missing familiar voices. May they know the comfort of your abiding presence. We pray for the meek. May they receive the goodness of your earth. We pray for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. May they be filled with goodness. We pray for those who are merciful. May they also receive mercy. We pray for the pure in heart. May they see you face to face. We pray for the peacemakers, which is not always an easy task. May they be recognized as your children. We pray for those who work hard to seek justice and end oppression, for they can be persecuted for the sake of righteousness. May they know the protection of your realm. We rejoice this day and give thanks for the many blessings of this life, for the gift of heaven which is ours even now. May we, with your prophets from all the ages, have the wisdom to pursue your truth and the courage to do what is holy and right. We ask all this in the name of Christ, who is our light and our life, and who teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. With what shall we come before the Lord this day? We come with a love of justice and a passion for sharing Christ's love. Let us walk in humble gratitude, offering to God a portion of the gifts that God freely shares with us, gifts for the healing of the world. Let's receive our morning offering. We thank you, God, that you have blessed us with an abundance of gifts for the flourishing of your world. May this offering of our life and labor reveal your love as we seek to share your promised reign with all creation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 700, I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me.
I'm going to encourage the Presbyterians to give a round of applause. Forgive us, frozen people, but we got into it a little bit, choir. Boy, that was good and appropriate. Live, sing, pray, work, that God can use us. That is the call of Jesus Christ in these crazy political times in which we live. May we embody that. And it's probably fitting because I feel like I'm wearing the stole of the prophet today. If today's sermon was a little too political for you, maybe you needed to hear it. These are grave truths that God's people need to hear from generation to generation. God's word is not to make us happy and feel good about being a Republican or Democrat. No. God is concerned about the nature of your soul and the soul of this nation. So our benediction is probably not so good news, but it's words that we need to be reminded of at least every now and then as Presbyterians. Later in the book of Matthew, Jesus says these words. Have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret will not become known. What I tell you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. And then he says this, do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him or her who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Friends, the life that we live has grave consequences. And I pray that you have the courage to go out, tell the whispers that the Spirit has nurtured you with today, that God's will prevail. Come hell or high water, that our God. Even in the midst of destruction. Don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill your soul. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace in these days. Join us for fellowship after church. Sorry, the voice of the prophet. Amen and amen.